Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Holtcast. Yes, we are finally back. I do apologize for the delay. Some life things take over and unfortunately we can't always make it. But anyways, like I said before, we are back. It's good to be back. Danny, of course, you join me as always. How are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, I'm doing well, mate. It's been a while. We only missed the League Cup final, but doesn't matter. I'm not good. I'm not doing well. We're recording this on the eve of the Leicester City defeat, the 4-0 defeat to Leicester City. I'm numb. I'm upset. But most of all, I have lost my ability to give any sort of reasoned responses to you all throughout the podcast today, Cole. So I'm going to apologize in advance.
Okay, so basically it's just going to be me talking, so everyone's going to click off now. No, I'm just kidding. Of course,
I'll talk, but I'm just saying, just don't expect anything nuanced, mate. That's all I'm saying.
Fair enough. And of course, our dismay, our broken hearts, our frustration, anger, whatever you want to call it, I'm sure many Villa fans are feeling the same way, because we're here to talk about Leicester 4, Aston Villa 0. An absolutely gutless, frustrating, lack of motivation, every negative word you could probably say, performance tonight at the King Power Stadium. Goals, two goals from Harvey Barnes and two goals from substitute Jamie Vardy. Puts a lot of dismay in Villa fans' hearts right now. There's a lot to go over in this game. We're not probably going to analyze them too in depth. We're going to talk about the mistakes. We're just going to do a lot of raw reaction, break down a lot of things we've dipped our toes in the past, but I just kind of want to be honest, get our thoughts in there. And of course, we've had a lot of followers of the 7500 to Holt Twitter account reach out, so thank you for that. And of course, if you want to get involved, you can tweet us at 7500 to Holt to get your say and have your say, I should say, in future podcasts. But anyways, Danny, you know what, let's start with the first goal, because not even the goal itself, but let's start with Pepe Reina, because I honestly, I was at work. I missed this, but I saw the highlight like literally 2 seconds later. The man just flies over the screen and pops in like he's sliding in a girl's DMs. Like, where? It's like the guy was at Walmart and saw a good deal and had to run off and go find something. I don't know what the hell he was doing.
He pressed triangle too long. He held onto the triangle button too long. Oh, bro. Yeah, you're right. He tried to slide into a girl's DMs and she aired his message, man, because that mistake was just too easy for Leicester City to capitalize on. I don't know what he was thinking. I just think it was like, there's that button, Villa, isn't there, where like something stupid has to happen. We got to about the 35th or the 40th minute. I can't even remember when it was. It was something 40th. Around that time. 40th minute, yeah, okay. It got to around that time. Villa didn't make a defensive error, and Pepe Reina thought, you know what, something's wrong. I'm just gonna GTFO. He flew out, man. Well, am I supposed to analyze this?
No, actually, I was gonna ask you something off that, but that's a good explanation. Because what does Pepe Reina doing that say to you? Because to me, Danny, it says that he doesn't trust his defenders.
I mean, it's rash, right? He sees Harvey Barnes. He sees Harvey Barnes get past Gilbert, and you know he's probably about to run through. I mean, he's not in that dangerous position.
No, both center backs can cut him off from that angle. Sorry to interrupt, there's tons of time there. Reina has so much time to adjust his angles and cut off kind of a far post shot or do whatever he thinks is best in that situation, but he runs out like a headless chicken. And even before that, actually, I think there was a ball that came back to him, and usually he's pretty good with his feet, and he sliced in. It went out to the left-hand side of the pitch, out for a throw-in. Like, it was a completely off game. No, it wasn't, but I think it was a sign of things to come. And, as soon as that goes in, Danny, like, can you admit it? We kind of know it's over. It's just it's a Villa thing.
Yeah, I mean, I knew it was over at that point. I mean, after that happens, you just know this is exactly how the script plays out. I mean, you just, you know, you all you ask for as a fan sometimes is just some competency.
Yeah.
And, you know, just an ability to use your head and do your, you know, you know, when you're doing your own job, you don't go ahead and make silly decisions for the sake of it without asking your manager, for example. Mm-hmm. I know this, you know, I know with football, you've got to sort of like run on instinct, but Reina just straight up, I don't know, man. What was that? No, I mean, it's a good ball, by the way, by Leicester City, and Harvey Barnes could well be going through there, but yeah, I mean, we've said this before. There's plenty of time for the defenders to cut him off. Pepe Reina, though, just causing pure comedy, and it doesn't really matter to him either because he's off at the end of the season. So I don't know if he was trying to go for glory there or whatever, but a man of his experience should be just knowing better than that, really. Yeah, this like it genuine that genuinely was what you do on FIFA, wasn't it? You know, when you just decide to rush your keeper out. I do that all the time. It usually works. Sometimes it makes me look silly.
Yeah, not this time. I think the thing, the important thing that we can also bring up now is actually Villa started the game fairly well. I'd have to give it to them. Probably the first, I don't know, what would you say here? The first 10 to 15 minutes, we actually looked like a decent side.
I think I call it 15, 16 minutes. After that, it was dead.
But then the issue is again, Danny, it's almost like we either start slow and we build into it and we wait too long, or we say play well for the first 20 minutes, we'll say we'll average it out. And then it's like we're already gassed and there's no game plan and the heads just are gone. And
yeah, but like, fine. Like if the other team has a period of domination, fine, right? But like you've got to defend with competency.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's the fear of conceding too. It's what do we do here if we do concede? And I think, again, and it's proven with this whole diabolical first goal, once again, we're conceding out of straight fear, out of straight mistakes that, given the belief, if there was more structure, whatever, these things wouldn't happen. You look at teams around us, yeah, they're making mistakes, but they're not making as much as us. They're showing way more fight. There's a bit of more of it. Even look at Norwich. What are they right now? 4 points below us. They have more of a game plan than we do, and they can barely score.
I'm not going to lie. They all look like they hate each other sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, they all look like they all look angry at each other all the time. Like, you can see their faces shaking their heads and everything. Oh, man, you know, you should have done better here. Oh, like, again, this wasn't me. This wasn't my fault. Why is this happening? Like, they don't look like a unit.
No.
And they're not working hard enough. Like, I know this is skipping further forward into the game, but, like...
It's good, man.
Like, you know, this is pattern where, like, every game Villa go 2-0 down and suddenly you see El Ghazi getting all angry and sort of, like, chasing down the ball and trying to make sure that, you know, Leicester City don't win the next throw-in, or you see sort of Tyrone Mings with this scowl on his face and you see them getting angry and passionate. And it's like, lads, you're 2-0 down. There's 20 minutes left to go. Don't lose your heads.
It's so frustrating.
It's bravado. It's all bravado.
Like, I'm not going to ask the question of where do we go from here, because we'll save that for the end. But you know what? We'll fast forward to halftime, because what else do you really speak about? A goal that could be easily avoided happens right before. It's kind of a typical Villa thing. And at that point...
Man, it was hilarious, though. It was hilarious.
What were your thoughts at that point? Because... even at that point, I'm thinking, okay, yes, there's a lot to be concerned about, but it's only one goal. I think that's the thing that we clutch at as fans, that small glimmer of hope, even how minuscule, how unrealistic it is. How are your thoughts at that? Because at that point, I'm thinking, okay, things could be worse, things could be better. I think a lot of us predicted draws. Like, I think two or three of us in the whole cast crew predicted 1-1, if I'm correct, something, and you know what? Weirder things have happened. Yeah, okay, so there you go. It's a tough one, because when you look at it, and we'll get to your point, sorry, Danny, because I literally just asked you to realize I won't shut up.
No, dude, you keep going, man. You keep going. Don't shy away.
I think the thing is, when I'm looking at halftime especially, is a lot of things can happen. There's things that Well, I think the thing that I'm trying to get at here without rambling on too much is, when is Dean Smith actually going to get it? When are changes going to be made? I have to say, you know what? This is not freaking working. Things change now. And I think that's how I look at it, Danny. How did you look at it?
Well, he's making changes.
But too
Making
late.
changes. Oh, but I mean, no, he's making changes every game, though, isn't he? We put out, you put out a change. I mean, you put out a change team for Manchester City. It
But is
went
he really making
4-3-3.
changes, though? Because he's just going back to what we did before.
Yeah, but like, you know, you have a couple of systems and you work whatever system works for you at the time. I don't know, man. Like, what else do you do? Do you go 4-4-2 and then, you know, you've lost your midfield as well?
Well, we did
This
that, though.
it goes beyond that, though. It goes beyond formation at this point, Cole. Like, it goes beyond formation. They're simply not working hard enough. Second to every ball. Suddenly know how to turn it on when they're 2-0 down. Making silly defensive errors, which can be avoided by literally having the same sort of mental strength as, or you know, just the same amount of focus as everybody else in that in, at that level of football. But they don't have that. They're not switched on. My problem was against Manchester City, they were all out there. They were intense. You know, we were 2-0 down to them at one point, but they were intense. They worked hard. They tried their absolute best to try and get back into that game. And even at the start, they played well. But against Leicester City, and you could see it in the first half, it almost seemed as though this is okay. This is just a Premier League game. We're not winning anything out of this. So, you know, we're not winning a cup. There's no glory to be won here. Relegation? What's relegation? They seem oblivious, dude. Like that's what most fans are angry about, and that's what it looked like by halftime. It was just, okay, we made another defensive error. Oh well, it is what it is. And I think every single one of us, I beg you to help me find a fan who thought at halftime we would actually have the ability to turn it around.
True. It's, I think the other thing to look at, and I think this has been a theme throughout the whole season and definitely through this podcast and this journey this year, and we brought it up, I think we haven't mentioned in a while, but we did probably for the first, at least probably first, I don't know, half of the quarter of the season, half of the season, I want to say, is fitness. And I was watching the post-match stuff, and even the pundits, I can't remember who they were at the time. I think it was McManaman and whoever he was with, and even are even saying, these guys don't look fit. We are in March, and we have players that still don't look fit.
Yeah,
Do you agree with that? Because I agree
bro,
with that. It's scary.
I don't think they know what pressing is.
No.
They're jogging around, they're walking around, dude.
I
They're
think.
like it's a serious problem because whilst I do think that many of these Villa players are very technically gifted and there's a lot of talent in there, you look around at all the other teams around us and the reasons that they're actually able to beat teams like Liverpool and actually. You know, I'm looking at Watford there, or you know, beating teams who are above them and they're punching above their weight. It's all through hard work. It's all through running. It's all through pressing and not allowing their opponents any breathing space. With Villa, it's almost right. We've done our bit. We didn't score in the first 15 minutes. Now we're just gonna sit off. You can keep running at us. We'll just chill here until we get another chance. It's
Yeah.
like, where's that chance coming from? What? How do you expect the goal to come? Is it gonna be magic? Like that's the thing, and what worried me was Dean Smith's post-match interview as well, saying that our defensive shape was good. Well, it wasn't, and there's no
No.
point having a decent defensive shape in the first place if you're not trying to score any goals. That you're right, dude. Like this team does not look fit whatsoever. And that was a problem under Steve Bruce as well, though last year, and it almost seemed as though we got a lot better at it, but I don't think these guys know how to defend.
You wow, my voice cracked there. I hope everyone appreciated that. That was absolutely terrible. Do you think, and I'm kind of convincing myself now in my own mind, is I know in the summer we signed, like obviously we signed El Ghazi permanently. We brought in Trezeguet. We brought in these wingers, and we kind of look at them as, oh, look how quick they are. But, and like, even look at the defenders and who else we brought in. A lot of them are kind of, like, look at Douglas Luiz as well. They're kind of flair players. They're not those grinders. They're not really, I don't want to say they're not going to put a shift in, but I guess I am going to say they're not going to put a shift in every single game. They are, I don't want to say it's when they're bothered to, but that's the impression they give off. Like,
that's the point.
We don't have the grinders. We don't have the battlers. You can look at, if I pull up the table now here, you look at Norwich. They're not the most talented team. They didn't spend a lot, but they have grinders. They have grafters. They're still battling for it, and you probably say they're out. There's teams in around us, Bournemouth, Watford, West Ham, Brighton. They all have grinders, even if it's one or two. And besides Grealish doing everything he can, besides obviously McGinn when he's in the side, I can't really think of, and Mings, you'd even say, besides that, I can't think of too many of those players that I could honestly say are grinders, grafters, and are always going to put a shift in.
Yeah, but even, and I don't want to, I shouldn't even be saying this, because I think I'm going to get slaughtered for this, but even, you know, in the last few games when Villa have been, you know, crying out for a moment of magic, where have Grealish and Mings been?
Yeah.
Where have they been?
Yeah.
I know that, you know, they've been working hard all season. I know Grealish is a fantastic player. He's probably just lost his head at this point. I don't think, you know, it doesn't seem to me like many of the Villa players believe that they can stay up. And I think Grealish is one of them at this point. Mings, though, I think it's time to admit that he's been just as bad as the other defenders on the pitch. He was lucky not to give away a goal in this game as well, when he backpassed it to Pepe Reina. I just think as a unit, this whole team needs to take responsibility now. It's not the fault of a couple of players. It's the fault of a lot of them. And you just wonder whether the leaders in the team are looking at the teammates around them and going, look, you know, you got to work harder than this.
It's tough. And I think, I don't even know why I should say this either, but I think when you look at it and you look at, okay, well, who do you drop here? Who can you afford to drop? And you know what? I felt like this, and I know a lot of fans are saying this is the worst it's been since we were last relegated. This isn't even close. We were 10 times the shambles we are now. Like, that, we knew we were down before Christmas. Yes,
we're
still
in it.
We did
have a long period of time without scoring, didn't we, as well?
Yes, like, it's so much worse than now. There's, me and Danny were talking about this before. We always have a chat before, and there's a lot more positives if we go down, and maybe we'll do a special podcast in the future if things
relegation
don't go Villa's
special.
Way. Yeah, relegation special. But I think it's kind of the same concept right now. I'm thinking in my head when I thought about it in the relegation season when I was still doing YouTube videos, and I kind of just said it. You know what? Maybe it is starting to play the Vasilevs, the younger players a little bit, I don't know. Like, at this point, you kind of have to stick or twist. And I think we have to start doing something, because just playing the same players isn't working. It's almost, I don't know. Like, I know you can only put on the pitch what you have. But at some point, I don't know, you have to be a little bit more creative than this. I'm not saying bring in Henry Lansbury or something like that. I just feel like there has to be another option out there that can give us a little bit more hope, and maybe it still doesn't work out, but it does something better than it did tonight, because that was absolutely shambolic.
Look, I mean, look, Arsenal didn't believe that they were beyond it. You know, starting young players who haven't had much game time. Chelsea have done the same thing this season. Well, you know, if senior players aren't putting the shift in and they're not working hard enough, then why not get some of the young players in? Keenan Davis seems to be being brought on quite a bit recently. Why doesn't he get a start? Maybe you let him do something, because whatever it is right now, it's just not working. Dean Smith needs to fight for his job, because at the moment it looks like he doesn't have anything to really fight for.
I think he feels very, very too secure.
That's the issue, isn't it? It's an issue. But he didn't seem secure 2 weeks ago when we lost, though. I'm so confused, Cole. I'm so confused, because a couple of weeks ago it was, a lot of these players have played their way out of the cup final. I'm angry. They were awful. After today, it was, oh, we set up well, the VAR screwed us a little bit. Is what it is. Where's the difference? What's happened? What's changed? I'm so bewildered, man.
Well, you know what, Danny? Let's get on to the second goal, and then we'll.
Oh, did we even get to that? Jeez, okay, fine.
No, we haven't. This comes
I've been
in
mourning
the.
Too much.
It's all good, brother. This comes in the 63rd minute via substitute Jamie Vardy. It is a penalty. Once again, in my opinion, we'll get to Danny's in a second. VAR absolutely screws Villa over. Some people on Twitter tweeted me saying, "Are you blind? That hits his arm." I'm sorry. If that's your arm, then apparently I failed biology throughout all of my schooling, because that is your shoulder. And like, I don't understand how people think that's your arm. Like, it's not even your bicep. Like, no, it's not even close.
It's just. Oh, God. So it's VAR again saying it has to overturn clear and obvious errors. Maybe that doesn't count as a clear and obvious error because it's close enough to the arm and the referee's made that decision, blah, blah, blah. But then you look back at the whole decision that stopped Villa from, you know, getting that penalty against Arsenal earlier in the season, and suddenly the rules change and Villa are at the center of it. Why,
you know, the
excuse?
Why?
What was it?
It was, well, I don't know if it was the exact excuse. But the gist that I was getting from what the commentators were saying was, oh, well, he's moving into the ball. So he's kind of, his arm's starting to move out a little bit. Well,
yeah,
it doesn't matter. If it doesn't hit his arm, it doesn't hit his arm.
Sometimes I like to listen to football without commentary because it makes no sense to me that that's given as a handball. It's not his hand. It's his shoulder. He's not trying to move the ball away with his arm. He doesn't even make him bigger, really. What happens to that ball if Reina doesn't get his shoulder to it?
Probably Vardy taps it in anyways.
No, it goes out for a goal kick. It goes out for a goal kick.
Are you sure?
I mean, it looked that way. I don't know.
I think Vardy was right behind him, if I do say so correctly. So most likely that was getting to him either way.
Oh, Vardy was on a goal drought, dude. He wasn't scoring. Well, he was probably scoring.
Well, you know what? I captained him in fantasy league, so I look like a genius right now. So I'm putting that in there.
But it's not handball. It's just not simple as that. Jamie Carragher said after the game that it wasn't a handball either. And I trust
everyone did.
Defender.
It's, I don't know.
Are Villa playing well enough at this point to make you think that they're going to crawl back into it though, Cole?
No. This is the first time where I can openly admit that I can't see it. And I don't want to be a damper to say, like, oh, stop listening to the podcast, the season's over. And I think that's the difficult thing me and Danny and other podcasters find, is you always want to keep things upbeat. You always want to be kind of far as away from the negativity and kind of keep it even keel for as long as you can. But at this point, and me and Danny, I think Danny will even admit it, it's kind of like, screw it. Like, just be open and honest. Show the passion, show the frustration, show whatever it may be. Because at this point, you kind of just have to, because at the end of the day, we're both fans. We both kind of want to say how we feel, how poorly it might be, and how some people may not agree with it. It's these results that spur this, and I think Danny will agree with that too.
Yeah, it is, and I, you know, we like to be measured. We like to kind of give our opinions as people who watch a lot of football and read a lot of football. But you know, sometimes when you watch Villa, and it's becoming a lot like this recently, it is just like, what do you want us to say? Not saying stop listening to us. Like, I mean, I think it's one of those where, you know, I think it helps to listen to other fans also vent, doesn't it?
Oh,
we're venting.
Absolutely.
We're venting to each other. That's what this is right now.
Yeah, this is my unpaid therapy from work. That gives me more stress.
Yeah, it's a lot of stress, man. And speaking of stress, dude, it goes. So Villa go 2-0 down. Reina's never saving that. Not at the confidence that he's on. And then it's after that point, it's when Keenan Davis comes on, isn't it? Brings on Keenan Davis. El Ghazi comes on as well.
Yep.
And this is Villa then reverting back to the team that for about 5 or 10 minutes they start running again, don't they?
Well, I think the issue...
What is it with this team?
I think the issue, Danny, is... It's changes are way too late. And like the thing that bothers me is that we'll start with a 4-3-3, and then it's, what, like the 60th minute before we go, oh, you know what, Samata doesn't get enough. And even this happened with Wesley. Like, our striker isn't getting enough support. Let's throw Davis on or someone to hold the ball, give him more support, yada, yada, yada. Well, that's been evident since the lineup was put out. Like, I don't know what it is. It's almost like, let's hope this works. Let's hope our midfield can press high enough and also press back enough where they can do both jobs at once. And again, I feel like it's another case where we don't have that out-and-out center forward, central attacking midfielder that we need. Because when we play Grealish in the middle, he just becomes overwhelmed because he needs to track back too much, I find. He has way too much responsibility. When he's out wide, he can kind of do what he wants, and that gives him that opportunity. But when you don't have someone beside him, and you know what, maybe this is where we're missing McGinn, who can press forward and really, really trouble midfielders. Like, going forward, I'm thinking, why not put Keenan Davis directly behind Samata and do like a center forward striker combination? Because why not?
Just play the two of them together.
Yeah. That works too. I just think something needs to change. Like, what do we do?
This is the problem. The midfield, they're not willing to work. They're not willing to make those movements, to make those triangles so that there's openings. You know, what seems to happen is you get Grealish and Harahan's movement at first was okay. I mean, then he kind of went missing later on in the game. You get Grealish and Target coming forward, and then you kind of see Nakamba and Douglas Luiz just kind of stationary.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nakamba might get the ball, and then Luiz kind of is a little bit stationary, and you see Nakamba pass it to Luiz, and then Nakamba just stays there. But he's going to, because he's a defensive midfielder. But then, you know, he looks around for support. There's nobody there. There's no movement. You know, there's nobody ready to take that pass. And the other thing is, you see them do this thing a lot where they kind of like put their arms out in the air, like, oh, yo, where do you want me to put it? And it's just really bad decision making, and it's just kind of. Yeah, it's just all wrong, man. It's just all wrong. They don't seem to want to push the other midfield back further enough. It always seems like we're the team that's sitting back, and they almost look like they enjoy doing that. And I just think, you know, they could make their lives way more easier if they could just take the pressure off themselves by keeping the ball.
Oh, exactly.
How much more comfortable do we look in the first 15 minutes with the ball, by the way?
Crazily, like, it was two different teams for 75 minutes of the game. Like, I'll never understand how you can have two completely different teams within a game like that far apart in terms of quality. Like, it's almost like if it doesn't go well for us within that time period that we're doing well, it's like, we'll bin it for this one. Like, that's it.
You know, I'm just angry, man. I'm just angry. because it does not matter how well the team starts off playing. It does not matter at all what kind of performance they put out. They still find a way to screw it up. There's your raw emotion. I don't know how to analyze this. I'm just so mad as a fan. And I just think, you know, especially for the fans who have paid to go and see this, what are the fans getting out of this? Where
frustration?
Frustration, of course. But where, you know, in any sort of business, there's a give and get. What are the fans getting out of this?
Very little.
Exactly. And there's some players on big money in there. What happens for the third goal? I don't even remember.
I'll tell you. Let's break it down. We'll get back under some kind of... rotation here, we're in some order, I should say. 79th minute, you look at Jamie Vardy again, turns into goal scorer. Really frustrating one for this one too, because he's bringing the ball down the left-hand side of the pitch, or at least he's basically sprinting down that left-hand side. Cuts in. The ball, I think, goes off of, I think, was it Gilbert or... I can't remember which center back it was, but it bobbled off maybe even two of them, came right back to him, and then he just absolutely hammers it into the basically the very near post, which there's two issues there: better defending and better goalkeeping. As a goalkeeper, that's one of those goals you cannot let in. Poor on Rana's part. I think we can both agree, Danny, today was probably his worst day in a Villa shirt by far. And even when you look at the Harvey Barnes goal in the 85th minute, I'll kind of just put both goals into here. It's a simple ball in, easy to defend. And he just hammers it home from inside the box. There's no pressure on it. It could have been like 6-7, 8-0. And you look at Mings after that fourth goal, just saying, I think he was saying, how?
Yeah, you're the center back, mate. Like you're responsible for that.
But I think he's saying it in terms of, I don't really think it was his issue. I think it was more of where's the support behind him, because you look at the midfield coming back and I think the issue with this formation as well, and the way we play under Dean Smith, is that your midfield is either guns blazing forward or they're holding back and defending with their lives. There's no middle mark. There's no split between defending and attacking. And I think that's what leaves our defense so disjointed, so uncovered, so it just leaves so many issues. Like, there's no wonder why we have the most shots conceded. It's because we have one extreme to the other. There's no middle mark. It's ridiculous.
No, it is. There's just no sort of stability there whatsoever. I think that Vardy goal also is just another goal that another team wouldn't concede.
Yeah.
It just bounces off the defenders, and instead of reacting quickly and trying to make sure they get rid of it, they just kind of stand there.
Mm-hmm.
Gilbert also at this point, before Vardy gets set loose, he kind of stops before he starts running back as well. It's like, no, turn and run. Chase that. Don't let that go in. And it just kind of brings back to the point where it almost feels like they've got no shame.
Completely. I agree with you.
They think because they're 1 or 2-0 down that it makes no difference whether they lose 3 or 4-0. But have some dignity.
Well, it's not even that. It's like goal difference, no matter what, like, is still a thing.
Like, yeah, it still matters.
It's terrible right now. But you know what? We might have some luck here in the run-in somehow. And that could be the difference. And I've been saying that since day one this season. And now it's almost like, oh, well, you know what? Like, it is what it is. No, like, it's completely avoidable.
They're playing out the season. That's what it feels like as a Villa fan. They are playing it out. Let's just get to the end of the season. Our agent will sort it out in the summer. That's the sort of, like, I'm not saying that's what's happening, but that is what's reflecting. That's what's coming across to fans. That's how Villa fans feel watching that team.
Should we?
I'm not the only person to say that, by the way, Cole.
Yeah, no, I agree. Should we get to our man of the matches? Get to some Twitter questions, because there's actually quite a few statements we can talk about and questions. Dean Smith, I believe, said, interestingly enough, that Nakamba was his man of the match, I'm pretty sure. He said he was the most impressed with him. So, Danny, my good sir, could I have your match ball?
Nakamba played okay. I've got no problem. I've got no issues with the way he played. The onus shouldn't be on him to push that midfield forward. That's not his job. Thought he did well with Undidi in that midfield. But I'm going to give it to Samata purely because he was the only one who seemed to care, genuinely. I think he did okay to start with. Obviously, he can't be an error for any of the defensive errors. But saw some passion on his face at halftime, and that's pretty much all I can say. It feels like a silly reason to give somebody a man of the match, but I don't know where else to take it, if I'm being perfectly honest. I also thought he did his best to get on the end of a couple of chances. Fortunately, didn't nail them. But Cole, if you've got any better suggestions.
Honestly, like, no, I was going to say Samata too. I'll go with Samata, because I can't. If I was going to have a second option, it would have been Nakamba. I do agree that he played okay. The issue with Nakamba is I feel like, I don't know how Dean Smith sees him. He almost sees him like Conte, but he's not even close to Conte, if you know what I mean. And I think that leaves a lot of glaring holes in Nakamba's game. But anyways, to get to Samatta, I think I don't really want to give it to anybody, but I'll give it to him. He had a few opportunities, kind of seemed to be the only thing that was really pushing us forward when there's clear chances to, and it just no one seemed willing, and clearly the fitness again wasn't there. So if I'm going to keep it short and sweet, I'll give it to Samatta. But Danny, let's get to Twitter questions, because I think there's about 28 or so responses. So thank you very much to all our kind listeners, and of course to those that interact on the Twitter. Of course, you can tweet in at 7500 to Holt, and go to the website www.7500toholt.com to get involved in future. And of course, you can tweet me, Cole Pettum at Talk Aston Villa, and Danny at Raza Journal if you want to get involved as well. There's a lot of interesting tweets because Danny's tweeting, or not tweeting me, messaging me on Skype saying how mental these questions are. Danny, have you looked through them? Because I honestly don't know where to start.
I've got a few. I've got a couple which aren't so serious as well, which is good because I might need that for the
Yeah, well,
general
here,
podcast. But
take your pick for your top three and we'll go over those.
okay. Let's have a look. Have you got any in your head?
Yeah, here, I'll go for this one because I think this is actually a good one. The underscore nine, his handle is at Grant underscore, I think it's Little or Lidal. He's suggesting we change to a back five with obviously the keeper included, so I think he means a back four, which we're already doing. But his, interestingly enough, would be Nyland in goal with a back four of Konsa, Ingles, Mings, and Hawes. So basically playing all our center backs. Obviously, Hawes can play left back as well. I'm assuming he has Konsa playing right back. An interesting one, Danny, because I think that's just ultra defensive. I don't agree with it personally, but I thought we'd bring that up because it's kind of interesting to see how some fans feel. Because even though I kind of think that's a little bit ridiculous to do, and any potential injuries would absolutely screw the rest of the season up, I think that's just interesting to see how fans are feeling.
Yeah, that's again, it's us being scared of conceding goals. Everybody's talking about this defense, this defense, this defense. But we look better when we're going forward. We look better when we actually try to attack teams and we actually try to score goals. That's what we tried to do against Manchester City. It's what we tried to do against Leicester the first time around, obviously in the League Cup semi-final. It just seemed that for whatever reason, we seem to think that sitting back is what's going to prevent problems. It's not going to prevent anything. We play the five centre backs, we still concede because that's five defenders who can make errors. The problem right now
No.
is competency. It's not the formation. It's focus. It's straight up. It's focus. There's something wrong with their mentality right now, which is just not allowing them to defend properly. I think, yeah. Whilst it's an interesting idea, I don't think putting five centre backs in there would solve the issue.
Fair enough. I'll give a
Want me to move
special
on?
sh yeah,
Sorry.
here, I'll mention one thing, sorry.
Yeah.
Because we did already talk about this, but I'll give a shout out to at Corbin underscore, I think it's Conover. He just kind of said, do you think there's a lack of effort in the squad? We already talked about that. We won't really get into that again. But I'll just get a shout out to him because obviously he's bringing it up and we've kind of already addressed that. So shout out to him. Do you have another question or comment you
Yeah.
want to go over?
So Stephen Deacon on Twitter, at Deacon Cos says, is Jack burnt out, injured, out of form, or just fed up with all the rubbish around him and just can't keep us afloat anymore? I'm gonna put that one to you, Cole.
I think he's burnt out. I think he's frustrated. I wouldn't be shocked if there is some kind of injury, because he hasn't looked the same for a little bit. And I wouldn't be surprised to see if he's playing through something, even if it was a niggle, because anything like that can seriously affect a player's full capacity on the game. I think the main issue, especially, is once again, everything goes through Jack. And it's been found out long ago and now teams just know to isolate him. And once that's done, we don't, there's no other option. We panic. And again, it happened again today. He was isolated. We had no plan B, no plan C. You can go all the way to Z. Again, Danny, it's, we have one player. It's, we're so one dimensional. It's almost scary.
Yeah, no, it's very well done, one dimensional. I mean, I don't, to be honest, I don't think there's a single dimensional to this Villa team. I can't see, I genuinely, I can't see what the plan is going forward, really. I think if I mean, Omar Hamady, for example, played today, right? And you think, okay, cool, so the plan is to whip balls into the box for Samatta. How many crosses did we put in?
Not many.
what happens once the players walk out on the pitch? Is everything just forgotten? There's this focus on chasing, just chasing, try and win the ball back, don't concede. That's all they can think about right now. And I think, yeah, Jack's had to shoulder this responsibility of picking the ball up deep and running it through another team. That's not football, man. That is not football. That is not something you should have to expect off any player, because it's impossible in the Premier League. And yeah, I think he's burnt out. I thought he had an awful game, by the way. He had a terrible game against Leicester. I mean, so did Maddison. I mean, he didn't really seem to be on the pitch much at all. But like, yeah, Grealish he didn't turn up today. And I think it's got to be a combination of all those things. How much passion can you put into something knowing that you're not getting anything out of it?
That's deep.
It's got to hurt him. It's got to hurt him, though. It's got to hurt him, though. Because there's not a single player in that team who cares about Villa as much as he does. And I think he knows that. And the actions, I think we all know that as well. I think the actions of the players, the way that they're walking about the pitch right now, I think we can all see that.
100% here. I'm going to link in two tweets together because they're a little bit contrasting. But we'll get your thoughts on it, Danny, here in a second. So where the heck was it here? Okay, here it is. At not a Welsh singer, Tom Jones says, I've been a huge fan of Smith and defended him due to mitigating factors of squad full of new inexperienced players. But to have a team this disorganized and lacking fight after several months is a real concern. Some or all of the coaching staff are clearly out of their depth. That then goes to... let's see, Paul Wright, so at @leanleft_right, who kind of gives an opposing thought, saying, I fear it's too late. I don't blame Smith, as he performed a miracle to get us up, which we should never forget. It was an uphill battle to keep us up, but losing McGinn, Heaton, and Wesley was huge. We never have recovered from this, and the cup final was a distraction. So two differing but similar at the same time in some ways. And I think the question I kind of want to ask you, Danny, off of that is, at what point do we look at Smith and say, this has to fall on you?
I mean, it should be at this point, shouldn't it?
Absolutely.
We're sat 19th in the Premier League table. And we're showing no signs of picking up the points. Yeah, we made it to an FA Cup final. Great. A League Cup final. Great. But whilst we were picking up those wins against Leicester City, were we picking up wins in the Premier League? I mean, we haven't been picking up the points, have we? I know there was a couple of wins around that time, but like, it's a difficult one, because I just thought that Dean Smith's interview after the game today sounded very, very deluded.
Oh, it's excuses. Like, it's just like, oh, if the penalty doesn't happen, then it's a different game. And I don't know how many times if someone can make like a clip of all the times he said excuses of if this didn't happen, Dean, it happened. I don't hate the guy. I appreciate what he's done, but like, it happened.
And it's just funny that the game's already lost before these incidents even happen.
Yeah.
It's just funny that we were always 1-0 down before these things even happen. That's the other thing. So why can't these things happen when we're 2-0 up? Yeah. And even in the occasions when we have been 2-0 up this season, how have we screwed it up? Like, it's just silly. Like, what exactly is he expected to do with this Villa team in these remaining 10 games? What exactly do you expect from him to get out of this team that he can't have already gotten? That's the argument that I'm putting to you. I'm not saying Villa should get rid of Dean Smith. What I'm saying is it doesn't look like we're going to stay up with him, does it?
No.
And I think you have to toss this up in the air right now. Villa's decision right now, and I think I'll have to say it, either they keep Dean Smith and Villa go down, either they keep Dean Smith and take him into the Championship next season, hope he gets us back up, Villa go down, or they get rid of him now and let somebody else try to sort this mess out. The problem with that, Cole, is with the players that are at, you know, whoever would come in, the players that are at their disposal, are they really going to be able to get anything better out of them? I don't know. This is a collective thing. This does not seem like a manager. This does not seem like a straight managerial error. This looks like a bunch of players that aren't trying hard enough. Why would a new manager change that? It's a matrix. It's a matrix situation.
It's so tough. Like, when I look at this, there's so many different thoughts. Like, I think when people think of sacking a manager, they think, oh, he's like a million negative things. He's a bad person. I love Dean Smith. I appreciate what he's done. I'm not going to say, get the hell out of the club and any of that stuff. This is probably the first manager where I feel like if he went in a long time, that I feel super hard done by. And I'd feel generally sad to lose just because of that connection with the club. But aside from that, you kind of have to look at it from a realistic point of view. If he does leave tomorrow, I'm not saying he will, and people don't clip that and think I am saying that. What I'm trying to say is if he does leave tomorrow, who comes in? Who can get a quick enough jolt out of these players to keep us up? And then it's kind of one of those two things, Danny, and you're kind of getting to it too. It's either you make the decision now, hope you stay up with that managerial bounce, because typically it does happen in most circumstances, albeit it could be short, could be prolonged.
I think it's a rare thing now though, isn't it? It wouldn't happen. I mean, like, yet, so say for example, like, so if like an Allardyce coming into a particular team, or like a who have you got at Watford right now? What's his name?
Nigel Pearson
coming to that team. Those are teams which already have like a base of players that have played with each other and have some sort of a system in place, have something that they can kind of, you know, at least just gel together. This Villa team still looks so raw. There's not an identity there. I'd compare us to a West Ham with not as good players. Basically,
yeah. I think
Do you do with that? What does any manager come in and do with that? That's my worry.
Well, interestingly enough, after the Chelsea game on Saturday, and then obviously the Newcastle game gets postponed, I believe, because they went on to the next round. If you're gonna make a change, it's gonna be then. You have to think. I'm not saying there will be, but realistically, that's gonna be, because actually, I think, if I can get it up here quick enough while I'm talking and hopefully filling in this time with some great content, look at me go. Let me look at the schedule here. So with that all being said, we have Chelsea on the Saturday, the 14th. We have the postponement of the Newcastle game, which was in between that and the Wolves game. The Wolves game isn't until April 4th. So arguably we might play the 14th and we probably won't play till the 4th. Like, there's a huge gap there where I think a lot of journalists will draw on this too, Danny, is if Villa are going to make a change, it's going to be between that time, because that is quite a bit of time. And I'm not saying that would guarantee anything, but you'd have to think if there's going to be a change, it's going to be then.
Yeah, but then you're hoping to grab a hold of a manager now who's without a job and saying to them, you come in and manage this promotion challenge next season.
Yeah.
Who's going to do that better than Dean Smith? That's the thing. But then if you don't perform in your job, you don't get allowed, you shouldn't just be allowed to stay. I don't know, like, so you look at managers who have been allowed to kind of stay at the clubs after relegations. You look at guys like Sean Dyche. They had their players playing like a unit. They had their players, you know, at least show the air of passion and effort. You know, mm-hmm. you have players there who are loved by their fans regardless. But there's a massive issue with this Villa team, where there is neither quality nor an emotional attachment with fans. I don't remember fans ever being so distant from a set of players before.
Well, no, the last relegation was
okay. That was
worse
bad
than this. Yeah.
Yeah. No, there was definitely that detachment then. But I mean, I guess you kind of put the two together. Yeah. There's definitely a detachment right now, isn't there?
Oh, massive 100%. Detachment. I can't argue with that.
I don't think that Dean Smith can take this team down and bring them back up. I don't think that there'd be enough of a want from fans for that.
Well, that's the issue.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, that's the issue, Danny, because when Dean Smith took over, things didn't go well right off the bat, and then we went on this miracle run, and even the owners have said it. We're way ahead of schedule. We didn't have that foundation set. It all just happened because it was a set of circumstances that just lined up in the stars, and it really happened. Like, we just hit form perfectly. And just because you get promoted and you can, people are going to bring up the Fulham thing, especially if we go down, because it's the easiest comparative. And there's probably hundreds of teams that's happened to in the past within football.
Do you know what? People who keep bringing that up just aren't willing to listen, or they're just trying to troll, basically.
Well, they just go off whatever's easiest and think it's going to make them relevant. But let's get to some more thoughts and comments here, and then we'll wrap this up. Do you have any that you want to mention in particular, or shall I bring one up?
Here's one to keep it lighter. Okay. So Dan and Taylor Kilgore, both listeners to the show, very regular ones. Taylor says, which Villa player would make the best Love Island contestant? I think this is fairly easy, Cole.
Yeah.
Are you thinking who I'm thinking?
Yeah, I think so. You can say it and I'll let you know.
It's Tyrone, isn't it?
No, I wasn't going to go with him. I was going to go with Jack.
Okay, Jack works too.
Yeah, he's a good-looking guy. I think Tyrone Mings is probably...
Yeah, well, yeah.
Mings has, like, abs on abs, so
exactly.
I guess that would work, too.
Yeah, easy. I'd like to see John McGinn on there as well, just because he's quality whenever he opens his mouth.
Yeah.
He maybe doesn't have the face that Grealish or Mings have, but, man, does he have the wit.
Oh, 100%. Let's see here. Let me go through the questions again here, folks. Let's see here. Phil at Demon Days 87. The fact is we are 10 games till the end of the season, and Smith doesn't know what our best 11 in formation is. He can't pick a side for an opposition. We are far too easy to play against. Definitely useless, as bad as when we went down. What do we do all week? That's a good question. It's Monday. We play on Saturday. This will go up on Tuesday, so technically it'll be Tuesday, and we play on Saturday. Danny, between now and Saturday, what changes?
I don't think that's the question.
Well, no, but that's what I'm turning it into. But what do you think he means?
I think he means what have they been doing in training up until this point?
Oh, like, wow!
Are they not putting anything into practice? Well, it's a fair question. I'm sure they're training, but like, you can't practice bottle and you can't practice focus in training. That's the issue.
Yeah, like, I really misread that.
No, it's all right. It's all right. But I mean, would you not say so? Like, that's the thing, isn't it? You can't practice, you know, not cocking up in training.
Well, I think that's the issue with people look at, because like, you'll see, especially on the build up to a game, and you see with any team, they take training photos. They're all smiling, enjoying it. And that's great to see. I'm not saying I want to see photos of them being pissed off and yelling at each other or anything like that. But you really wonder what they do, and to be a fly on the wall within that training camp would in that complex would be really interesting. I'm sure they all get along. I'm sure there's unity in terms of the relationships with one another. I'm not doubting that, but it's just the structure of how they're laid out and their ability and the overall quality of these players to play together. I think there's so many different play styles within each player, and there's so many mismatches where it's, especially when you come up, you just don't know what to expect. And we're that team where it's just all thrown together and it's, oh, we're going to play attacking football. Well, it doesn't always work that way. And I think, Danny, you would admit that too.
No, but that's the problem. We're not playing attacking football, and that's what got us promoted in the first place. And I think, I still believe to this point, you know, our decision to try and be this sort of defensive, counter-attacking Premier League team is what's really led us to this point. If we'd have started this season with the same mentality that we had in the Championship, we wouldn't be at that stage. But I'm sure in training they've got some sort of a plan together. Like, I'm, you know, there's times when things seem to work, but it does still seem a bit mishmashed. I don't think Dean Smith is training them to his strengths. I think he's trying to adapt to become this Premier League manager, which, you know, is an all-encompassing thing where, you know, you have to be able to attack and defend. But, yeah, that defensive side just isn't there. A lot of people talk about John Terry as well. A lot of people put out the question of, you know, what is John Terry actually doing? You know, he's the assistant coach. He's one of the best defenders. You know, Nicky Ingram tweeted me as well saying, you know, who's coaching the defense? But, you know, he's just an assistant manager. It doesn't mean he's any good at coaching defenders. We've clearly got stuff going on because they seem very comfortable. Well, not comfortable is the wrong word. They seem to like zonal marking a lot. I'm sure we're practicing that. But as I say, again, you can't practice not cocking up. That's where the issue is.
Can I please bring up this comment? Because I was just updating the 7500 to Holt Twitter notifications. And obviously, of course, we do Matt the Twitter to, like, we have people that do the match commentary throughout, and obviously allow people across the world to stay updated, all that kind of stuff. There was a tweet about Douglas Luiz, and someone replies, he'd struggle with the pace of a Spanish water polo match.
What's a Spanish water polo match?
I am not sure, but I just saw that out of the corner of my eye, and I thought I had to bring that up.
That's incredible.
I think we'll wrap this up here in a minute or two, Danny, but I think the thing to consider too is players like Douglas Luiz. Like, where do they fit now going forward? Because I just don't I don't, like, there's so many questions I want to say at once, but, like, Boston's, we have to almost put, well, no, it's not even that. Who are going to be the players that are going to put in a shift for the rest of the season? Because Douglas Luiz isn't on my list. He's probably at the bottom.
Yeah, very talented player, lots of potential. Doesn't seem to want to work. He's not the worst of them, but he's definitely one of them. You can't sort out the defense. I don't know. Look, I'm not saying that the midfield have been playing well enough, but if my defense was making the kind of errors they're making every single game, I don't think I could give a crap either, to be honest.
Yeah.
But you know, having said that, they're on 50-60k a week, and they should be putting out as much effort as possible. Like, that's yeah. Douglas Luiz has a lot of potential. He should be playing with a lot more pride. If he was the Brazil under-23's captain or whatever it was, and he's knocking on the door of the Brazil squad, then he needs to kind of, you know, he needs to do better than he's doing. Have some ambition, man. That's all, really.
Absolutely. Okay, well, you know what, guys? We'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much for the Twitter comments. I'm hoping this is something we can do for kind of for the rest of the season and going forward into the coming seasons, of course. And yeah, it's great to see that. But anyways, we'll wrap it up there. Danny, of course, as always, thank you very much for joining me. Hopefully I can speak quick enough that we can get this to an exact hour mark, because that'd be kind of cool. And I'm OCD like that. But anyways, of course, thank you very much. You can find me on Twitter at Talk Aston Villa. You can find Danny Raza on Twitter at Raza Journo. You can, of course, head over and check out the @7500deholt Twitter account. You can find the website www.7500deholt. And of course, in a very frustrating way, and hopefully it gets a little bit better somehow, up the Villa.